This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Williamson, and with me, as always, is
Zachary Fruling.
Well, today we're going to be discussing the Season 1 episode Faces, where B'Elanna gets split into two people. And Zach, since you're the one that suggested this episode, why don't you get us started?
So I chose this episode for two reasons, Suzanne. First, this episode is way better than I remember it being years and years ago. This is one of the episodes that has got better over time with me. And second, I was trying to think of an episode that hadn't gotten much attention on To the Journey, and looking through our entire back catalog of To the Journey, Faces had never really been talked about very much. And B'Elanna is the perfect character for this kind of story. This episode did a lot to bring out her inner struggle with being half Klingon and what that means for her emotionally, and this is a really important character development story for B'Elanna.
Well, I don't think you could have done this with any other character on this show because no one else is half another species.
See, I don't think you need to have a character that is of two species to have this story work. This episode is kind of a remake of The Enemy Within from the original series, and Kirk wasn't a member of two different species, and his personality was split into two. It works really well for B'Elanna because her Klingon side and her human side are so diametrically opposed to each other and yet complementary to each other. But I think all of us are like that a little bit. We all have different personality traits or different facets to us. And it's interesting to imagine what it would be like to take those personality traits and split them apart into two individuals. In fact, we could talk about that amongst ourselves. We could get personal here. We could get autobiographical. What if we were split into two people, each one of us? Like, what would your two people be like and what would my two people be like?
I wouldn't be split into two people because that wouldn't make sense.
You don't have an inner tension, an inner struggle, an inner dual nature?
No.
See, I totally do. I would be split into like four different individuals.
No wonder you're such a pain in my butt all the time.
There'd be my like logic teacher philosophy side. There'd be my poetic side. There'd be my passionate side, my Klingon inner fire. Really? You don't feel like you have an inner struggle, an inner dual nature? Really?
No, this is me. This is what you get.
You're so healthy, Suzanne.
People usually use the term bitchy, but I'll take healthy.
Sure, healthy, bitchy, you know, same difference. I had kind of assumed that you could take any person you want and there would be different facets to their personality and it would be different for everyone. Like the different parts of your personality are different than the different parts of my personality. And it would be interesting to think about what it would be like to isolate that and have a whole person built just around those aspects.
Yeah, I can't. No, I can't get my head around that. No.
No, I can't relate to that.
Sorry.
So I don't think it's necessary that you run a story like this with a character like B'Elanna that's of two different species, because I think people are complicated and they have different parts to their personality. But I think it works really well with B'Elanna because her two halves, so to speak, are so opposed.
Well, I really think you need something that's visibly different. Because even with The Enemy Within, they lit Kirk differently. They used different lighting for the different Kirks. So you could see the difference. With B'Elanna, one is human, one is Klingon.
They didn't take the low-hanging fruit and give Kirk a goatee. So in addition to exploring B'Elanna's dual nature, this episode explores B'Elanna's backstory. We learn a little bit about her upbringing, the kinds of things she struggled with when she was younger, about being half Klingon on a colony, the only Klingons on a colony.
We learn that her father abandoned her, and that messed her up pretty bad. So back to the daddy issues.
I kind of want to give B'Elanna a big hug after this episode.
I think she'd punch you if you tried.
The Klingon part of B'Elanna would. The human side might appreciate it.
Eh, not so much.
Doesn't human B'Elanna look like she just needs a hug?
No, she needed a meal.
Yes. Eat something. You need to eat. You know what I love? I love the way that Klingon B'Elanna punctuated her language. She sounded Klingon.
No, that annoyed me. She sounded like Shatner. I couldn't get past that. I'm like, is she trying to be William Shatner and pause after every word? It bugged me.
It was very punctuated.
It's like not all Klingons speak that way.
A lot of them do, though.
Worf does not.
No, Worf doesn't, but some of his...
Alexander does not.
No, some of the Klingons we saw in The Next Generation did, though.
Well, yes, some of them, not all of them. Why did B'Elanna suddenly speak this way? I mean, I understand from the actor's point of view, the teeth were messing her up, so she really didn't have a choice.
She also spoke very slowly. It was, each word was drawn out. What have you done to me?
Yeah, I was not a fan of that. I was a fan of the makeup. Her makeup was amazing.
This is a very makeup-heavy episode. We've got Vidians. We've got Chakotay dressed up as a Vidian, of all things.
The only handsome Vidian I've ever seen.
Don't tell me you've got a thing for Vidian Chakotay.
I don't have a thing for Vidian Chakotay. He doesn't seem threatening, so that's all.
We also have a pretty epic makeup job with Durst's face being grafted onto a Vidian.
Which is actually Durst. So he played two parts in this episode, which is pretty kind of cool. But what did the face thing remind you of?
Oh, Silence of the Lambs. This is a straight-up Silence of the Lambs job.
They totally ripped it off from Silence of the Lambs. And then it also made me think of The Devil's Rejects, a Rob Zombie film.
See, I didn't see that. You're going to have to add that to the list of movies that I have to see.
I will add it to the list.
This is a very biological episode. Any episode of the Vidians is a little biological. They're pretty gross looking.
Now, I do have a question. They got B'Elanna and Tom out. Did they happen to save that poor Talaxian dude that was the last one from his ship? Or did they just leave him there to keep digging up rocks?
Or have his organs harvested?
Well, yeah, that was going to happen.
Is he the first other Talaxian we saw besides Neelix in Voyager? It must be.
It could be.
He was a little troll-ish.
Okay. Well, he was there for a while and starving, I'm guessing. Doesn't have access to a hot shower.
And he doesn't, we know Talaxians don't know what baths are, so.
Maybe he would have enjoyed Neelix's Plomeek soup.
Somebody give that Talaxian some soup.
Because Tuvok clearly did not enjoy that soup at all.
Even though it's just the opening scene of the episode, that's a great little comedy routine over the Plomeek soup with Tuvok and Neelix.
And we also learn that Tom likes peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
And Chakotay likes corn, wait, was it corn salad?
Or what? Corn salad. What is corn salad?
Is that just salad with corn in it?
Or is it just corn in a bowl with dressing? I don't know.
Corn and some ranch dressing?
Oh, that sounds disgusting. I hope it's something better than that.
I mean, you can put corn in anything.
My father always did.
Just throw a little corn in there. I love Tuvok's reaction to Neelix having changed the traditional recipe of Plomeek soup. Changing a time-honored recipe. He almost guilt trips Neelix right there. I mentioned this last time, Suzanne, but I've fallen into this bad habit with Voyager of kind of skipping over certain episodes. And this is one of the episodes I would skip over very often in rewatches. And I had forgotten this little scene with Tuvok and Neelix was in this episode. And it was a great little pleasant surprise when I started watching the episode before we recorded today. I'd just forgotten it was in. It was a great, funny scene. It's a reminder that I should not skip over Voyager episodes because they all have something of genius in them.
Yes, they do. They all have something to give.
Well, getting back to B'Elanna's dual nature that we see in this episode, what do you think about the scenes where B'Elanna interacts with her other self? I think this is some of the most brilliant stuff in this episode. coming face to face with your opposite or the things you don't like about yourself. Klingon B'Elanna does not like some of the qualities that human B'Elanna has. Human B'Elanna doesn't like some of the qualities that Klingon B'Elanna has, and they have to come to terms with each other, and I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, they have to find a way to work together.
Except human B'Elanna needs a sandwich.
Or some rodent.
Or some rogue egg blood pie. See, this is where I think maybe you and I are a little different, Suzanne. I kind of relate to this. I feel like I have a dual nature inside myself, more than a dual nature. There's always kind of an inner conversation within myself that I can relate to. So, you know, there's certain parts of me that, you know, other parts of me don't like and vice versa, and that those don't reconcile very easily all the time inside myself. I'm not a schizophrenic, I just made myself out to sound, but I do have this sort of inner dialogue that I can relate to, seeing this dialogue kind of played out dramatically with the two B'Elannas in this story. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if other people are like that. It doesn't sound like you're like that.
I am not like that.
You have an inner monologue, not an inner dialogue?
No, I usually say what I'm going to say. About the only thing that goes on in my head is I'll get songs stuck on repeat.
Really?
Over and over. Yeah.
You don't actually like narrate to yourself inside your mind?
Why do it inside my mind when I can just, you know, talk and do it?
See, this is really interesting because different people's minds work differently. I'm a very, very much a verbal thinker. Like, I will actually be narrating my thoughts to myself inside my mind. So it's either, I don't know if it's a monologue or if it's a dialogue, but I'm always kind of talking things through in my mind.
Only if you're answering back. If there's someone answering back, would it be a dialogue? If it's just you, it's a monologue.
Well, you can ask yourself questions like, what if I did blah, blah, blah? Well, then blah, 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 blah might happen, right? You can kind of talk to yourself in that kind of dialectical sense.
That's still a monologue because it's still just you. You're still one speaker.
That's true. I actually kind of hear my own voice talking back to me when I do this. Do you actually kind of mentally hear your own voice when you're thinking?
We can get you help.
Thank you, Susan. I'm not as crazy as I just made myself out to sound. Other people's minds don't work this way. You don't really, this is a serious question because I'm interested in this. You don't hear your own voice speaking to yourself when you're thinking?
No.
What does it mean to have a thought to you then? Is it visual? Is it a picture?
It depends on what it is.
It does seem like by the end of the episode, the two B'Elannas really do come to terms with each other though. Klingon B'Elanna realizes she needs the rationality of human B'Elanna, and human B'Elanna realizes that she needs the gusto of the Klingon B'Elanna, the confidence, the risk-taking.
I don't know. Human B'Elanna was ready to live without Klingon B'Elanna. She's like, why are you going to change me back?
Yeah, she really doesn't like being half Klingon.
Yeah. Well, we really learn that later when she tries to take that away from her daughter.
Yeah, and this episode completely sets the stage for that later episode.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tom's attempt to try to comfort B'Elanna about this, saying that when he was a kid, he was ashamed of the haircuts his dad used to give him and wearing a cap when he went to school on the first day of school, so he wouldn't be ashamed of his haircut. And B'Elanna's sitting there like, your haircut is not analogous to my forehead ridges. I'm sorry.
And then he says that really stupid line, like, guess you finally got your wish. It's like, dude, compassion, where is it?
Tom is not always Mr. Sensitive.
Yeah.
He's a bit of an emotional sledgehammer. But I think even in this episode, you can see the proto-seeds of the Tom B'Elanna relationship.
You can see that with anybody and Tom in season one. You can see it with Tom and Kes. You can see it with Tom and Harry. You can see Tom and B'Elanna, anybody and Tom.
Wait, Tom and Harry?
It could have happened.
It could have. That would be an interesting... Voyager would have been ahead of its time.
Yes, it would have been. The Vidians are digging all these tunnels, or having their little people they've captured dig all these tunnels. Why? Was that ever explained?
That is a really good question. They just need the minerals? Are they mining for dilithium?
Are they digging just to dig? Hey, this sounds fun. Let's make an underground maze.
I don't recall for sure, but I don't think they really say in the episode what exactly they're digging for.
No.
I did think the bit about the automatically reconfiguring tunnels was interesting, though. The force fields and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Even little things like the little micro fissures that they're going to use to try to break through the force fields. Season one of Voyager was into micro everything. They had micro wormholes, micro fissures. Everything's micro in season one of Voyager.
And then eventually they moved on to macro.
Yes. Well, you know, at that point in Star Trek's history, a lot of things had been done because you had all seven seasons of The Next Generation. You've got a couple seasons of Deep Space Nine. So if you wanted to do something different, make it bigger, make it smaller, micro wormhole, macro viruses, sure. Variety.
Why not?
But I think that shows up more clearly in Voyager than anywhere else. Although you do get one small ship in Deep Space Nine. I know I'm always focusing on the DNA. Like, I was obsessed with the holographic DNA a couple of episodes ago.
Oh, no. Not DNA again.
No, I want to think about this DNA problem, because I think this episode doesn't make sense fundamentally. If you're half Klingon, like B'Elanna, you've got half your DNA is Klingon, half your DNA is human, but you don't have a full strand of human DNA. You don't have a full strand of Klingon DNA. So where on earth do they supply the missing DNA to make a complete Klingon genome or a complete human genome?
They used frogs. Just like in Jurassic Park.
So when B'Elanna starts breeding asexually, you know, we'll know something's up.
Life finds a way.
When we have a lot of little Klingons running around, we know there's a problem. I know I'm always overthinking the DNA, but again, this is another instance of DNA in Voyager not quite making sense.
Well, I just think that they needed like a blank to put the DNA into.
Yeah, where exactly? Wait a minute. I didn't fully understand.
They needed a body of some sort, a blank shape to put the DNA in.
Where do the two bodies come from?
Well, one of the bodies is B'Elanna.
Yeah. Which one?
But the other one, I don't know where they got that one.
Did they grow it in a test tube? Like what?
That I don't know. That's why I was like, where's your blank? You need a blank.
They never really explain.
No. Other than they materialized it. And I'm like, that makes no sense. Materialized it
like
from
a,
what?
Is it a transporter duplicate?
It made no sense to me.
Was it like mitosis?
Those darn Vidians and their wacky, wacky science.
Must have been something like cellular mitosis, but on a macro mitosis.
Micro.
Micro mitosis. Can't you picture B'Elanna just like splitting into two and then turning into two whole B'Elannas?
I think I've seen that in like a cartoon somewhere. I can't remember which one. No. Maybe it's like a Mogwai. You get her wet and like other B'Elannas pop off her back. And then just one of them got fed after midnight and turned into a Klingon.
Like Gremlins.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So the human B'Elanna is the real B'Elanna because that's the one that survives at the end of the episode.
Yes. Or it's the B'Elanna we have now. It might not be the real B'Elanna.
Is this another, like, you know, we've got the wrong Harry Kim now problem?
You know, and Naomi. Don't forget Naomi.
Do we know for sure that that's the real B'Elanna?
Do we ever really know for sure about anything?
Do we get 6 more years of fake B'Elanna?
Possibly.
I hadn't thought about that. Maybe that's not the real B'Elanna. I never considered this. It would have been interesting to not hit the Voyager reset button and to keep either human B'Elanna or Klingon B'Elanna from then on.
Or both.
Yes, both. Why not both? That would be way more interesting. Two B'Elannas?
I'm sure Roxanne Dawson would have liked that because that would have been two paychecks, baby.
Can't you picture them passing each other in the corridor? Hey, B'Elanna sub one. Hey, B'Elanna sub two.
Oh, they probably have to room with each other. Oh my gosh, how would that go?
Not well, I think.
And then would Klingon B'Elanna end up with Neelix?
I was thinking Neelix might drop by once in a while.
That's just creepy. I can't go there.
Klingon B'Elanna was bragging quite a bit about her sexual appetite to get out of being restrained in the episode.
She just wanted to be let out so she could kill the dude.
Yeah, totally. It wasn't for its own sake. It was a tactic to be let loose so she could kill the guy. Absolutely. But it was just funny.
That was a total Duras sister move right there.
Yes. The Duras triplets. Lursa, Bator, and B'Elanna. She was very Duras sister-esque. That's a great observation. I didn't think about that when I was watching the episode. They really stereotype Klingon women, don't they, in the 90s? You know, when we had Klingon females, it was the Duras sisters. Although we had Kalar, too, who is not like the Duras sisters at all. Mm-hmm. B'Elanna was very Duras sisters-like. It's a very stereotypical portrayal of Klingon women. Mm-hmm. I just think it's interesting they weren't kind of enlightened enough to break from that stereotype a little bit, even in the 90s. Because the 90s were pretty progressive times.
Not really. They were technologically progressive.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe not culturally progressive yet. I like the scene at the very end of the episode when Chakotay is trying to talk to B'Elanna and he's trying to comfort her, trying to...
He has no words of wisdom.
He doesn't. And he kind of just walks away to leave B'Elanna to think about it amongst herself. I think it's an emotionally powerful way to walk away.
He doesn't fully walk away. He takes a few steps, turns back and looks at her and is like, Yeah, I really got nothing to say. And then he just walks away.
Yeah, it's like he wants to say more and he restrains himself. He doesn't want her to go all Klingon on him, first of all.
Well, no, it's just he had nothing. There were no words of comfort. No matter what he said, it was going to be hollow. There's nothing that he can do to help her get through this. It's something she has to come to terms with on her own.
When you're going through something, people try to help. They try to give you advice. They try to give you words of wisdom. And, you know, those things are helpful. But fundamentally, people have to come to terms with things themselves. And that's exactly what's shown at the end of the episode. I think it's great. A lot of life is like that. I actually think Klingon Bwana is a little bit like a mother hen to human Bwana. You need food. Eat. Eat. Manja, manja.
No, she just doesn't want to carry her for the rest of the time. And she tells her, she's like, you need to eat because I'm tired of carrying you.
Build your strength up. Weakling human? Puny human?
And what is wrong with rodent cooked over fire? Because Bolana's picking at it like it's some sort of weird beef jerky.
I don't know. It sounds pretty good to me, but...
It could be rabbit for all you know.
I can't say... I've had rabbit. I've never eaten rodent. Other rodents besides rabbit. Wait, are rabbits rodents? Is that right? No.
I've had guinea pig, and that is a rodent.
Really? You've eaten guinea pig?
Yes, I ate guinea pig when I was in Ecuador.
Really? I've had guinea fowl, but that's very different.
That is very, very different, yes.
Well, do tell. How is guinea pig?
Guinea pig is widely eaten in Ecuador, and it's really good.
Tasty little suckers.
They are, and if you think about it, they're easy to raise. They don't take up as much space as other livestock.
And they're large enough to be substantive.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, now I kind of want to try one.
Of course, a few years later, I had a pet guinea pig, and then I'm like, oh... Yeah, sorry, Mr. Reese, I don't think I could eat you because you're so cute.
Maybe this is why I don't remember this episode being spectacular in the times I've watched it before. And again, I appreciated it more this time, but there's not a lot to this episode. I think the two Bolanas is interesting. The thing with Tuvok and Neelix at the beginning of the episode is interesting. Learning about Bwana's backstory is interesting. All of the makeup and the faces, you know, it's a clever play on words. There's so many faces in this episode, right? We've got the two Bwana faces. We've got Chakotay dressed up as a Vidian. We've got Durst's face. So, you know, the name of the episode, Faces, is really apt. So it's interesting from that standpoint. But that's it. There's not a lot to this episode other than those things.
Yeah, there's not much more.
They really drag out some of the plot elements in this episode. The plot is pretty simple. There's not a lot to it. There's some interesting character development for Bwana. That's important. But once we've talked about that, that's the episode.
Well, it's been fun talking about the many faces of faces today, but this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, the 602 Club.
Well, and I think that there's even... you know, a kernel of that conversation reflected in when he is on the airship with his dad. And it's very interesting because Indy gives, you know, they give the two versions of the story where, you know, you were distant, you didn't hang out with me, you didn't do these things, I didn't have a normal dad like every other kid. And then you hear... you know, Henry Jones Sr. say, I never told you to wash behind your ears. I never checked up on your homework. I gave you all of the freedom and independence that you wanted. And if you were to ask any kid, they'd say that's what they wanted. And then you find out, to speak to the point about fact and truth, that that's not necessarily what you want. You want involvement. You want connection. You want to be together. You want to be part of your family unit. And you want it to be cohesive. I mean, you know, at a baseline, that's what everybody wants.
Warp 5.
So for the listeners, if you haven't watched this episode, she murders. She's unsure of if she murders, but she kills the seventh person she was supposed to round up.
Whoa, the seventh! Oh, what a shock! Be still, my heart.
So he mockingly said,
to the journey!
I love that Barclay says he's lost himself in Voyager because I have been there, man.
Haven't we all, Reg? Haven't we all?
It hits a little close to home.
It does.
I'm a little bit like Barclay in some ways. I, you know, I have just a little bit of paranoia to me.
Awkward?
No, a little paranoid. No, I don't think I'm awkward. No. Okay, maybe a little bit.
Well, you said you're like Barclay. Awkward.
Give me a glass of wine and I'm fine.
Okay.
Synthahol. Excuse me. Synthahol.
Melodic Treks.
Okay, so that's one of the things they do. The music is much more enhanced and the music is louder when you're sitting in the audience. The dialogue is lowered so that you can hear the music. The idea is to get you to appreciate what the score is all about.
Okay.
And the idea is to focus your mind on the music rather than on the movie. But it actually, your brain does tricks and it's very difficult to disassociate yourself. So you're staring at the screen and then you kind of have to pinch yourself and remind yourself that there's a full live orchestra on the stage.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
Well, we would love to hear your thoughts on today's episode, and there are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the larger conversation with us is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at Trek FM and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. Well, Suzanne, speaking of contact information, when you're not busy trying to graft Chakotay's face onto mine, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
You? I would never do that to my Chakotay.
I just thought you might want to look at Chakotay's face while we're podcasting. I was thinking of you.
No.
I'm looking out for you, Suzanne.
You can find me popping up in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. And Zach, if our listeners would like to contact you for your recipe on corn salad, where can they find you around Trek FM and on the internet?
And just to be clear, my corn salad is always piquant. Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek FM as co-host of MetaTreks, Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there. And you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, all available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, there are a few people from around the network we'd like to thank and acknowledge. We'd like to thank C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who is always resistant to the phage. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon J. Mutala, our Patreon manager. And a special thank you and a shout out to our five associate producers here on To the Journey. We'd like to thank Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you very much for your support of Trek.fm and To the Journey.
Well, join us next time where we can find out just how many people we can really split Zachary into. But until then, this has been To the Journey.